This is Sports Saturday.
Also, that's a little bit of a hang-up when there's, like, alcohol advertisements.
Right, exactly.
That's kind of an issue.
Yeah, right.
Because your sister's, what, how old?
8.
With Joshua Briscoe.
If she's like me, she's got at least 6 more years to go before she starts drinking.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah.
Rudy knows just what I need. Thought maybe I was slowing down 10 at 10 a.m. No, I'm ready. A nice little... Did you see that Drake said that he's working on a new album?
Really?
He said this at the Raptors game last night. It was Drake night. There's nothing I want more in life than to go to a Toronto Raptors Drake night. That just seems like the best possible time.
That would be great.
They beat the Rockets. Like, it worked.
Like, this song, I think, is the greatest thing. I think Drake's verse in the song is his greatest verse, like, he's ever done, man. Like, I'm not, like, I feel like I'm probably, like, hot-taking this, but, like, I'm also, like, obsessed with it. At least for me, like, it's just, it's, like, perfect.
Do you listen to Logic at all?
You know, it's actually been a while. I haven't heard his new stuff. I used to listen to him, like, a couple years ago, but it's just been a while since I've caught up.
Bobby Tarantino 2 came out yesterday. It is fantastic. I feel like sometimes you gotta be like in a real mood for the different types of Logic stuff. Bobby Tarantino 2 is extremely good. Also, the new Neighborhood album came out yesterday, but I haven't listened to it yet because I wanna like, or I might have even been 2 days ago now. The Neighborhood is one of the things I might not listen to it until it's raining. I need 4 hours to listen to it like just 5 times in a row. While just like laying in bed and experience it as a full sensory experience. I'm really excited. But
if it doesn't rain, you could just get like, just play rain noises at the very least.
That's good. Or I'll just sit fully clothed in the shower. I don't think that's going to have the same experience.
Maybe like a little thunder noise on your phone too.
That's good.
You know, to add to the experience.
That's good.
I wouldn't suggest real lightning in there, but you know.
Ooh, that's also good. No, that's good. Maybe I'll be like, I'll listen to it through headphones, but I'll turn up some thunderstorm sounds like in a speaker in my room. So just kind of like slipping through. I really want to live in
roommates
this.
Knocking on your door like, Josh, are you all right?
Hey, man, it sounds like you're in a mood or something. I just wanted to make sure you're doing okay.
All of a sudden your parents show up. Josh.
We're worried about you. It's just been 5 hours. I've just been listening to the album over and over for 5 hours. Yeah, no, that's the mood. Welcome back to the Sports Saturday. We've been here for an hour. We'll be here for 2 more. If you're just tuning in, you can listen to the whole thing at 810WHB.com. Go to podcast, additional programming. You can find today's entire Sports Saturday. Did some Royals, Mike Moustakas. I also recounted my stories from the Power and Light District last night in the first hour. We'll probably move to college basketball later on. But I'm blocking out the next hour to talk about the absolute craziness that has been the NFL pre-off season, which is a phrase that I have pirated from Twitter. Because the actual NFL offseason doesn't start for 4 more days. March 14th is the official start to the league year. And today is the 10th. And since then, up until then, we've had, let's see, 3 quarterbacks be traded, 2 of them involving the Cleveland Browns, 1 being Alex Smith. Plus, like, 100,000 other things going on all at once through this wild offseason. And the most important development, I think, is even beyond what the Browns are doing, which is very interesting. John Dorsey's making moves. But I think the most important thing happening this offseason is what the Los Angeles Rams are doing. Not just because they now have, I would say, 2 of my 10 favorite players in football that they just acquired this offseason, and Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. Also, I'm guessing that someone just changed the station because they heard me say that 2 of my favorite players in football are Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. I will not apologize. I love watching those 2 guys play. I really do. And they're gonna end up with Richard Sherman. That is also gonna happen. Sounds like Sherman's actually probably going to the Niners, staying in the NFC West. He's working out with him today. They're going to do like a bunch of tests, make sure he's healthy. And then apparently the Niners are willing to pay him to stay there and not even go to any other cities, which is the right move, I think, for the Niners. They got cap space, and they need a veteran leader on that defense, and Richard Sherman is that guy. After paying Jimmy Garoppolo, they're an interesting place. But the most interesting thing going on in the NFL is the Los Angeles Rams. And the things that they are doing is exactly how I would want to be running my NFL franchise. I mentioned this earlier. Some people listening to this have listened to me for a while, especially on Chiefs stuff. I've been doing Chiefs podcasts for years and all sorts of sports stuff for a while. So I also know there are a lot of people listening now that have probably never, at least never heard this particular spiel before. So if this is a repeat, sorry for resetting something you've already heard. If it's new, buckle up. I have a theory. The theory in all of sports that I'm currently the biggest disciple of is that the best way, not the only way, but the absolute best two ways to win in the NFL, the two ways that give you the largest likelihood of actual winning, demands either having an elite quarterback or value at quarterback. And in the modern NFL era, this has never been disproven by a Super Bowl winner. I'm not sure it's ever been disproven by a Super Bowl appearer. But certainly not by a winner. And before you tell me about Nick Foles, the Eagles had like the 24th most money tied up at quarterback in football this year because it's Wentz on a rookie deal and Foles on a cheap backup deal. They did it too. They were certainly getting value from their quarterback position. Everybody does. Joe Flacco is the one that makes you go, hmm? Joe Flacco was on the last year of his rookie deal. Making like $8 million or something. Not pennies, but value. And if you look at the way the NFL teams are constructed, that's how you do it. Basically, the NFL, you can even expand this even beyond quarterback, and I think you can just say very fairly, the NFL's a value game. More than anything else, the NFL is about value. It's also about talent and chemistry and roster construction, but at its core, it's value. Because that encompasses everything else. And you have to get players outperforming it. The reason value is so important is because everyone's working on the same salary cap. Everyone is using the same amount of resources. It's about the return on your investment. And quarterback is the best place to talk about this because quarterbacks are both the most expensive thing in football and the most impactful thing in all of sports. Unless you're LeBron, I guess. But positionally, most valuable, the most room for explosion in all of sports, most control at any position in all of sports, is at quarterback. In the NFL, it's the most expensive place. So quarterback is the best place to talk about value. You can enter a cheat code and bypass all of these value games. You can bypass them all if you have Aaron Rodgers. Don't believe me? Look at the Packers. I promise you, I can prove scientifically. A lot of this is theorizing. In science, this is important. You know how like when in the terminology of the sciences, a theory is something that has evidence to support it. This isn't a guess. This is a theory with evidence. It's not a law because the sample size is too small, and the NFL has a lot of randomness in it. But I say theory as something that I'm very much a believer in. The cheat code is Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, and maybe just the two of them at this point. If you don't believe me, look at the Packers. Whenever they have Aaron Rodgers, they are a Super Bowl contender of the highest degree. Whenever they have Brett Hundley, they miss the playoffs. And there's a middle ground in there somewhere, like I said last year. God, please don't call the show. If they would have had Colin Kaepernick, I think they would have made the playoffs. And I use Kaepernick specifically because he was available. And he's worse than Aaron Rodgers and better than Brett Hundley. But if you have but Brett Hundley showed all of the deficiencies in that organization because he couldn't cover up the things that Aaron Rodgers covered up. But unless you're Brady or Rodgers, it's right now, Drew Brees right now is surrounded by great values, great positions all over the place, great position players. I don't know if there's anybody in sports other than those two guys that can certainly do it. There's some arguments to be made, but I'm not really here for that point. But if you want to win without having Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, you can do it by having an incredible supporting cast around your value. The Vikings did this really well last year. Without having great value at quarterback, they were getting great value at a ton of places. But quarterback is the easiest way to discuss this, especially in the case of the Rams and the Chiefs. The Rams are heavily investing in the supporting cast around Jared Goff. And the Rams right now are absolutely going for it in year three of Jared Goff and year two of Sean McVay. And it makes all the sense in the world. This is when you do it. If you wait much longer, all of a sudden you're the Ravens. And you pay Joe Flacco, and then you have to let some really good pieces walk because you simply can't afford to pay Matt Stafford, Derek Carr, Joe Flacco, and then also keep these pieces that made those guys look so good. Quarterbacks are hugely, hugely important, obviously. But I think the NFL largely overpays and overvalues the second and third tier of quarterbacks. Like, Kirk Cousins is going to make a ton of money. And if he goes to the Vikings for $25 million a year, I would assume that they will never get farther than they did this year. They would never get farther than an NFC Championship game because this year they were getting what they needed for a better price than that. I'm not terribly afraid as a Chiefs fan of the Raiders for the next several years, because I don't think Derek Carr is Aaron Rodgers. I think that price tag for him is too high. The Rams are in a perfect place to trade for Aqib Talib and trade for Marcus Peters and go for it while they have Jared Goff and Todd Gurley at unbelievable values. Rookie contracts for your quarterback and running back. It would be amazing if you had a rookie contract also for maybe your number one receiver. Maybe your tight end's on a pretty controllable deal. Maybe you're clearing out a whole bunch of cap space right now. Getting rid of some aging players with heavy contracts. That seems like a team that would be ready to contend. It does to me, at least. That's where the Chiefs are. And I do believe the Chiefs' biggest window is going to be 2019. And then hopefully also 2020. 2019 seems like it's going to be the sweet spot for the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs because it's year two of him actually playing. But he's not a rookie quarterback. If you talk about Patrick Mahomes, you say, hey, listen, rookie quarterbacks don't win. And this is something Cody Tapp and I were talking about. This is no slight on Cody. But if you do say, hey, rookie quarterbacks don't win, not worried about this year. Let this year go. Build for the future. If you believe that, then you should have started Patrick Mahomes last year. And I said this at the time last year. And Alex Smith gave the Chiefs some chances, and that worked out fine. But if you're saying now, hey, We're not in it for this year because rookie quarterbacks don't win. And I say, whoa, Pat Mahomes is not a rookie quarterback. I say, yeah, he is. Because he didn't play at all last year, except for that last game. Then I would stop you and say, okay, so you just burnt a year of Pat Mahomes. Because you really, really wanted one more year of Alex Smith? Are you kidding me? It was the best year of Alex Smith. It was the most predictable thing possible. You got the best Alex Smith. You got the best Alex Smith you could possibly get. And they lost to the Titans in the playoffs. Like, I guess it was unpredictable because they lost to the Titans instead of the Patriots or the Steelers. And, oh, it wasn't Alex Smith's fault. Not the point. All I'm talking about now is that Patrick Mahomes isn't a rookie. If you believe that, the Chiefs wasted a year of Mahomes then. I think the Chiefs are giving Mahomes the keys because they think he's ready to be a quarterback. Not a rookie quarterback, not a quarterback that's going to have really severe growing pains. I think they think he's ready to play. I think he's ready to play. And will there be some growing pains, in air quotes? Of course. But in large part, it's also going to be because of the style of game that he plays. Some of those are going to exist forever. And you're going to get some bad interceptions because you're also going to get some unbelievable touchdowns. It's his style of play. So, with that laid out there, value thing set up, explained that. You win in the NFL with elite quarterbacks or value at quarterback. Rookie contracts are the place to get value. It's where you find underpaid quarterbacks. It's the only place in the NFL you find underpaid quarterbacks. The Chiefs have one. Chiefs also have an underpaid number one receiver, an underpaid running back, and honestly, if he was on a free market right now, open market right now, an underpaid tight end. Defense is obviously problematic. Good news. The Chiefs have some space this year. Don't spend on Albert Wilson. Let him go to Chicago. Bring back Chris Conley. Maybe go spend on another receiver, frankly, that fits Pat Mahomes' skill set a little more. Then let the offense go. Roll the offense out. You're probably not even going to draft a developmental guard that's better than Parker Anger. I think the guard thing is a little overblown, especially because you have a quarterback now that is comfortable keeping his eyes up when he's under pressure. Obviously, I don't want Mahomes to get killed by some 350-pound defensive tackle that slides through one of those guard spots. Well, I guess just the left guard spot. But let Brian Witzman and Parker Anger and maybe Zach Fulton, if he gets brought back, let them compete. Put the best one there. Let's go. Then load up that defense. Load up the defense all the way around. Apparently, Richard Sherman has told people what teams. I think he told. It might have been Josina Anderson. Said, "Hey, these are the teams that have contacted me. Chiefs weren't on that list. The Chiefs should have traded for Aqib Talib, and they didn't. The Chiefs should not have traded Marcus Peters, but they did." These are things that make me wonder if Brett Veach agrees with me right now. But they also did trade for Kendall Fuller, who has 2 years of control at an unbelievable, like, $800,000 a year, which is insane.
Jehu Chesson will make more money this year
than
Kendall Fuller.
That's such a good stat. Oh, my goodness. I love that. So, you've got value in some places. You need another corner. But Steven Nelson's fine. You need another corner. And you need a playmaking corner. You need, more or less, Marcus Peters. Or Richard Sherman. Or Aqib Talib. Or maybe your second round pick. Maybe your second round pick will do it. Also, over on Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City, a couple days ago, I talked with Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride. Does some great work covering the Chiefs and doing film analysis and everything. And we got to talking about, I wonder if the Seahawks would have any interest in trading Earl Thomas. He's the other safety that came in Eric Berry's year. He's been tremendous. But the Seahawks have cut Richard Sherman, traded Martellus Bennett. And then after Seth and I talked about this for a while, Pro Football Talk had an article come out about the Seahawks being potentially willing to part with Earl Thomas. Those two guys would be I mean, it would be one of the best combos of safeties in the history of football. And they would complement each other very well. They would free each other up very well. And he's got 1 year. Earl Thomas has 1 year left on his deal. So you're going to have to eventually dole out some more money. That's the problem. Here's the good news. This is when value comes back in. You say, whoa, Earl Thomas. All right, man. Are you playing fantasy football? A little bit. But listen to me. I'm playing fantasy football, but not like, not fairy tale football. Because I'm not abandoning the rules. Because the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith, salary-wise, is about Earl Thomas. So you can add a huge impact defender that immediately, you add Earl Thomas and Eric Berry to this defense, and then you have to fill the holes of the guys that you let go, which some of those aren't going to be terribly difficult to replace. But you also have to fill the Marcus Peters gap that you now have in your defense, the Marcus Peters-sized hole in your heart. And that's going to be difficult. And you either have to do that with big money or a high draft pick. And you don't have a very high draft pick. You just have the second rounder. But if you can do that, then this defense begins to take a brand new shape. And all of a sudden, a defense with Eric Berry and Earl Thomas makes everybody in front of them look better. Because those guys are absolute playmakers. Justin Houston was better last year than he gets credit for. Dee Ford was looking good before he got hurt. He's going to be here, it sounds like. It doesn't sound like he's going to pass his physical. Been a couple reports to that end. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not going to try to feed you every... I'm not going to try to spoon-feed you optimism. Because I'm not extremely optimistic about Dee Ford. I'm not going to set unrealistic expectations for year two of Tano Passanio. I'm not going to set unrealistic expectations for anyone on the defensive line that's not named Chris Jones. But you do have some impact players there. You do have some places where this defense can absolutely be better than you thought. And then you fill in those empty gaps. And that's where you're spending all of your money and you're spending most of your draft. By the way, today the Chiefs are working out Muhammad Wilkerson, the former Jets defensive lineman. Now, I don't know what kind of deals he's going to have on the table. But if he's willing to come party for 1 year or maybe a 2 year deal where the second year is escapable for the Chiefs, or frankly, if it's a 2 year deal and the third year is very much escapable, you could talk me into that. So this defense the defensive line just needs some body movers. And if your starting point for this defensive line is Chris Jones and Muhammad Wilkerson, it's a good starting point. Also, Alvin Bailey is very much one of those bubble guys. He hasn't been cut yet like Ron Parker has been. We found out the details about Derek Johnson. And Tom Bahali is, I'm guessing that Tom Bahali right now is trying to gauge the market and see if he can play elsewhere. And the Chiefs want to give him every chance to retire. Just because it's, you know, it's a little less of a breakup that way. I'm guessing that's why they haven't done anything yet, and it's March 10th. Alan Bailey's one of those bubble guys, and I'm not completely sure where the Chiefs see him as a value. I've been expecting them to cut Alan Bailey at some point, and my current guess is they probably will cut Bailey if they get Muhammad Wilkerson, and if they don't, maybe they stand pat with him. Something to keep an eye on. But this defense has holes. It's the bad news. The good news is this team has some space. And I really, if you believe in Patrick Mahomes at all, and if you're the Chiefs, you do. You have to. Even if you don't believe in Patrick Mahomes, sorry, that's where you made your bed. you need to start prying this window open. And I wouldn't say prying if they still had Marcus Peters. This was my problem with the trade at the time. And I'm not going to dig all the way back through the reasons this trade is bothersome to me. But the biggest thing, the biggest reason it didn't make sense, and I said it didn't make sense before it ultimately ended up happening, is because Marcus Peters perfectly fit the window of the Chiefs' best Super Bowl chances before ever giving him a big contract. This year, next year's fifth-year option and a franchise tag, that's 3 years. Those are your best 3 years to win a title with Mahomes. Report ended up coming out that Clark Hunt wasn't willing to pay him even the fifth-year option. That's where Clark Hunt and politics and sports all wind up together. And again, it becomes extremely problematic if you even think about it for a little bit. If you care what I think about it, you can... I wrote a column on Arrowhead Addict, and you can go listen to almost entirely sports podcasts from back then. I'm not going to recount it because it's old now. And frankly, I don't want to fight with anybody who wants to call in. But you have to at this point. I'm always playing GM with the Chiefs, I guess. You don't have to if you just are a fan. For some reason, I'm always playing GM. And so I'm under the understanding now that, all right, if I'm in Brett Veach's shoes, I just got handed this team. Where do I go with it? Now you know. You pry that window open now without mortgaging your future. And whenever you're working for a three-year window, which is what the Chiefs are doing with Patrick Mahomes' contract, and being a value and keeping that window open and giving you the best possible opportunity to win a Super Bowl, you've got to start prying. And you say, well, pry now and also don't mortgage your future. Isn't that difficult to do in the NFL? It is. But you got 3 years. If 4 years from now you're paying a whatever 35-year-old Richard Sherman $14 million and you're just like, oh man, we bleeped ourselves here, didn't we? If you're in that place 4 years from now with a Super Bowl ring on your finger, I promise I will forgive you.
This is Sports Saturday.
Well, the Chiefs traded up and got Patrick Mahomes, and everybody knows what's going on. Everybody from Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes to the Chiefs' Twitter account, who is putting out stuff about Pat Mahomes throwing a pass to Jeremy Maclin, effectively erasing Alex Smith from everyone's memory.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Last time I talked about this, I said it was like watching, like before the ink on the divorce papers were dry, your mom was taping pictures of her boyfriend's face over the family photos of you and mom and dad.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB. I
don't really care if you cry. Corey tweeted in at JB Briscoe. Did 810 get some new mics or something? At JB Briscoe suddenly has bass in his voice and doesn't sound like a 12-year-old girl anymore. I've informed Corey that I had to be, I had to scream to be heard for the last 3 days of the Power and Light. Also, I had a pack of cigarettes for breakfast. So I hope that did it. I'm also thinking that 810's mics are probably somehow better than the ESPN Kansas City ones. They look the same. But I just imagine that being on 810 makes me sound more adult and less like a prepubescent girl. Also, this is something else on the 810 side of things I was not prepared for. I've been in here, obviously, since 9, doing the show, a little bit before. And during my segment, I was just like I'm like heating up. Like, not just my spicy, fiery takes, but also, I think do I have a fever? What's going on? And I went and looked at the thermostat. It was set on 75 in here. And so I've turned it down. But I also opened the door. It's nice out. It's great. This makes a nice little, like, gives a nice little breeze. The problem is now, the sun is in my eyes in a way that is distracting that I also did not notice until the rejoin music was playing. And I was like, oh no. I can't see anything.
So not only do you have a bad throw, but by the end of the show, you're going to have to go and get, you know, cataract surgery or I don't know, whatever eye surgery, you know, you're going to need.
Sure. It's also super nice to have a cough button back. If you hadn't heard this at any point yet, I was doing my ESPN Kansas City show from another pub at the Power and Light District, and another pub is amazing, but I'm easily distracted, and also I'm doing the whole show on a headset around, like, really loud, largely drunk people. And so it's just, I'm just doing the show in a hurricane. So I'm doing the whole show like this, talking about, wow, keep to leap. And I'm legitimately like I'm yelling into this the headset mic that's like an inch from my lips. And so now that's why I think I'm brought down here, like we're doing this nighttime radio show. Like, hey, anybody, just grab somebody you love, pull them close, grab some hot cocoa, and enjoy this Barry White song you're listening to. 810 WHB for world's hottest beats. That's pretty good. Just thought of that. Could we get some 810 world's hottest beats shirts made? I feel like that. I think that'd be really good.
I'd wear that.
Yeah, I would absolutely
wear
that. Wear
the crap out of that shirt.
I don't know what it looks like beyond saying 810 WHB, but it also, like, maybe, you know, like, an anagram kind of world's hottest beats thing. I got a tweet here from not an actual name. Name is Red and Blue Birds. So maybe KU guy. So I was writing this as you said this on air. Legit wasn't sure it was you. Loved the playing the GM comment. That's my life. And that's the crowd that I play to, folks. Welcome in. I think that's fun. And I don't know. And really, not everything is an age thing, but I wonder if this is any sort of, if this is an age thing at all, simply because I grew up doing this on Madden. Like, for me, Madden 08 on the PC, I would go get the roster updates from, like, the message boards, and then roll in the new players, and then just be playing GM mode, trying to win the freaking Super Bowl with the Chiefs. And I'm not sure I ever did it, because even in fiction, this team is snake-bitten.
I may or may not have drafted Johnny Manziel on the first round.
Hell yeah, you did.
Just saying.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then immediately, like, I can't remember what Madden was, where I was able to flip Matt Castle for a second round pick, which was amazing.
Yes.
Like, that was my best value. I would always do that in Madden. Like, my first year, I would try to make my team so bad so I could have the number one pick. And, like, I drafted Vince Young in one of them.
Yep.
And
yep.
Just, I always wanted the number one pick in that first year.
Yes, of course. I started a 2K, like, team, whatever, GM thing, I don't know, like a week or two ago, trying to make the Phoenix Suns a successful franchise. Also isn't working. But I love that. And so I don't know, and maybe it's a technological thing because we're all so much more informed now. Like, everyone can play GM if you go to Over the Cap. And, like, and I'm guessing that most people listening to this now know this, but if not, go to overthecap.com and click the Chiefs button, and you can see the Chiefs salary cap hits this year. And they haven't updated it yet with all of the actually they did. Over the cap, well, no, maybe they didn't. Okay, not fully. Alex Smith is off this year's cap now, but they hadn't been updating at all until the league year officially started, and now I think they're starting to. But you can see the Chiefs' cap situation and then what moves could create more space. I mean, you can actually play GM, like, logically and smartly. And this is also probably thanks to the fanalists, which is my word. I trademarked fanalist. I didn't actually trademark it, but I like hearing people say it because I feel like I started that a couple years ago. Not the concept, but just the word. But also all of the fanalists that we have with Arrowhead Pride and Arrowhead Addict and all the other sites that do Chiefs fan analysis beyond just, like, TV and radio. Now everyone and their dog has a Chiefs podcast. And you can actually do that all in an educated manner, and you're not just going, no, they should cut. Hold on, who's a good? No, oh, they should cut Eric Fisher. Eric Fisher sucks. Well, if you go to Over the Cap, you can look and see, oh, cutting Eric Fisher would cost them more money than keeping Eric Fisher. If they did it before June 1st, if they did it after June 1st, it would still be, they'd be paying Eric Fisher $10 million this year to not play for them. Well, then I gotta cut Eric Fisher. Obviously, like, it's not even an option financially. I think everyone's more educated now because of the internet making it easier to access all of this stuff. So that might play into it larger than the whole Madden generation thing. Same guy just tweeted up again. He's at Found Your Niche on Twitter. He said, I bought an Xbox One S yesterday to get that fixed. And he sent a picture of his Xbox One S with Madden 18. At this point, I'm going to tell this guy what he's going to have for lunch. I feel like I am crushing it right now.
It was with the point of those games, too, where a lot of times... Like,
Hold on, wait. At Found Your Niche. Look both ways before you cross the street. I just saw a glimpse. It's the future that you might have, not the future that you will have. You can change. Merry Christmas to all. Go ahead, Rudy.
Going off your point, I wouldn't even like play the games half times. I would just simulate everything.
Oh, 100%.
Just because
yes.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yes.
I wanted to be the GM. I wanted to see if I could build a team.
What is wrong
that was
with
so
us?
Great.
Why is that? That was more fun than actually playing the games for
and
me.
Like I don't know like for other people too, but like you know, like when I think of like my dad tells stories like when he was growing up and older people about like how they envied these players. For me it was always Theo Epstein. Like I didn't envy a player. It was the GM of the Boston Red Sox.
That's
this guy
funny.
Was amazing. So yeah, I think a lot of that is it's the video games and how you can actually do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what got us started before Over the Cap and Spotrac. And like, have you heard of fanspeak.com?
I don't know.
They've got you can do a mock draft and they've got an algorithm that actually drafts all the
awesome.
Other teams. It's so much. They've also got, if you pay like $20, you can actually do a full offseason simulator. It's like the other,
I have seen this site.
They'll
yeah.
actually do the other teams. They'll actually sign players. So you can take a hold of the Chiefs and actually
so
do an offseason draft, sign free agents, all that stuff.
It's so cool. Also, woof, the Chiefs are paying Jordan Mack and Alex Smith and Marcus Peters $10 million this year.
The dead money is terrible this
it's
year.
The worst. It's so hard to look at. And it's for the best because, I mean, the Macklin thing I still have my questions about, but they kind of got boxed in on that one. And also Marcus Peters, they absolutely not have to trade, but whatever.
But he didn't stand.
Oh, man. Oh, so Rudy mentioned this during the break, and he brought it back up now, and we have to. Because Rudy was saying that it's funny that some people are like, no, Marcus Peters, get him out of here. He's a punk. Ooh, Aqib Talib, I like you. Bring me you. Yeah, sure, a fifth-round pick for Aqib Talib. Yes, please. I wanted them both here. But Talib was asked about the anthem protest last year, and the quote in this headline from CBS Denver was, I stand for people who go to war for us, which is, by the way, totally fair response. But the subset of I would say that in large part the most critical people of Marcus Peters got an absolute shot of adrenaline to the heart with all of the national anthem related stuff, and Aqib Talib wouldn't have brought that. He might be snatching chains and he still might be throwing flags into the stands, but that differentiation would matter to a lot of people. Doesn't matter though, because they're all freaking in Los Angeles. Like, Jared Goff's going to get hurt, and the Chiefs are going to trade Mahomes to the Rams for, like, a sixth-round
pick. I was right
about
to say this. Like, Mahomes is going to be in L.A. next.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the Rams are my new favorite team, I think,
along
with
you. Yeah, you just got to go at that point. You just got to go, like, please, okay, take me too, Rams. Just take me. I don't have to even move to L.A. Just, like, please, ship me a hat or something, and I will – I can't watch you just steal all of my true loves away from this team.
Like, they're going to get somebody else really good this offseason. I'm just convinced there's still
yeah.
one more move.
But
I don't know who it is.
No,
but
you're right,
there's,
though.
There's, like, one more move in them, I feel like.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Like I don't – I can't
like, is there some
there.
Troubled linebacker who's, like, you know, really good? Not named Aldon Smith.
I was
like,
going to say they're
Aldon
not going to
sign
Aldon Smith.
Yeah.
Not, nope, not
like a
Aldon
different,
Smith.
I feel like because, like, they've got the Aaron Donald.
Brian Cushing just got cut.
Oh, Brian Cushing would go to L.A. and just be great.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes,
yeah.
He's been hurt and not very good. And oh,
he
he's
went to USC?
Go. Yep.
Oh, dude, yes. Brian Cushing to L.A.
Brian Cushing to the
Brian
Rams.
Brian Cushing to the Rams.
All right, let's – isn't one of the Barstool guys talking about, like, squatting on a take or something where you just, like, sort of
yeah.
claim a take as your own? We are squatting on Brian Cushing to the Rams. Whenever that happens, we're going to have to come back through this audio file and cut that and say, hey, we had this.
They traded Alec Ogletree, so, like, I'm pretty sure they played the same positions, like – Man.
It makes too much
like,
sense.
This is
so frustrating.
This is perfect.
Holy cow. I just looked at their – this is wild. I just pulled up their Over the Cap page. with Aqib Talib and Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley and Marcus Peters, and they're probably going to cut Tavon Austin, right? Free up some space. Even before
trade him to the Chiefs for Mahomes.
Oh my God, Tyreek Hill.
Just straight up trade.
Straight up. Right now, even before they cut Tavon Austin, they have $31 million in cap space.
I was going to guess like some, like they probably have good number, like 20, 15 to 20, but 31.
They're paying Aqib Talib $11 million. Oh no. Aren't they? No, I need to double check this.
I say, didn't they, and I don't know if that includes it, did they franchise, because they franchised Sammy Watkins, didn't they?
No, they did not. They tagged LaMarcus Joyner.
That's right, it was Joyner, yeah.
But there was also talk that they were going, maybe they're letting Trumaine Johnson go. Welcome to
I think
Rams talk.
I think Trumaine, yeah, I think Trumaine's a free agent.
I think you're right.
Because I think that's obviously why they went for it. Could you imagine if they brought back Trumaine? Oh, Trumaine Johnson's coming back. I don't even
they
know.
Could.
If,
they
I don't
could.
Know
they
how
would
you,
fit.
Yeah, like, I don't know where everybody plays, but, like, oh, that secondary would be unstoppable.
Yeah, so even as they pay Andrew Whitworth and LaMarcus Joyner and Aqib Talib and Michael Brockers, which is their now top four players, and Mark Barron, Robert Woods, even with all those guys on the salary cap, they have $31 million of cap space. And again, the reason that they're doing that, the way they can do this is because they're paying Jared Goff, his number this year is 7.6, Aaron Donald 6.8, Todd Gurley 4.3, Marcus Peters 1.7. And they're probably going to invest more in this offense this offseason. They're going to need a couple receivers. Allen Robinson. There we go. I'm booking it here. Have this on tape.
That would be a – man, they really do have the assets to go get him, man.
Yes, they have the space.
Like, they – that would be a really good spot for him.
And if you're just tuning in now and you're wondering, why is Rams talk here on 810 today? It's because the Rams are doing what the Chiefs should be doing. And by the way, I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't moving that direction. The offseason hasn't even started yet. They did sell on Marcus Peters, but again, there's a lot of things – going on there, and if Clark Hunt really wasn't going to pay even his fifth-year option, then it did make sense to trade him now because you literally weren't going to have another year of control of him. Now, refusing to pay for his fifth-year option is a huge mismanagement, if that report is accurate, just for the record. That is deeply offensive intellectually to anyone paying attention, but I digress. Now we need to take a break. Rudy told me we need to take a break. We need to take a break. Fine. I got so wrapped up in my new favorite team, the Los Angeles Rams. I was so excited to have that kind of excited analysis again. Now we need to take a break. You're right. Thank you, Rudy. All right, whenever we come back, we'll wrap up this conversation, and I'll give you a couple more things that the Chiefs should be looking at this offseason, or maybe we'll just talk more about our new favorite team, Los Angeles Rams. That disembodied voice is Rudy Salazar. My name is Joshua Briscoe. We'll be back here on Sports Saturday after this.
This is Sports Saturday.
913-3810-810 is the phone number. If you think I'm on to something.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Or if you think I'm on something. Either way, love to have you. 913-3810-810.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, there it is. Okay, I was tracking on this for a second. Wait a second. Oh, yeah. I forgot that we're here for Sports Radio 810 WHB. World's hottest beats. Grab somebody you love, pull them close. Settle down next to your transistor radio. Just listen to me tell you how good the Chiefs are going to be. Unless they suck. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Patrick Mahomes era begins. Will the Chiefs be good this year? Who knows? World's hottest beats. That pack of cigarettes I had for breakfast is really, really bringing the mood. Also, I'm not physically capable of screeching as loud as I had to. for the last 3 days. Not that I have a great reason to complain about how hard this job is where I talk, but I don't think it's possible to explain to someone how difficult it is to do a radio show from inside the loudest possible bar with a headset, microphone, and headphones. It's very complicated. It's a very complicated process. All right, I don't think I can do this anymore either. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. I'm Joshua Barry White Briscoe. It's the nickname. I've had that nickname for years. It's crazy I never mentioned it until just now. Rudy Salazar is here spinning records. Wax. Scratching wax.
Pretty sure Barry White just made records of him just whispering all song long.
Oh, yeah.
And got rich off of it.
Someone's going to call in and tell you how wrong you are about Barry White. Someone's going to fight you on Barry White right now. That's going to happen. By the way, I've figured out where I'm at with the Chiefs and the Rams. I tweeted this a while ago. I hate the Rams, but only because they're the team that I want the Chiefs to be so desperately. That is where I am at right now as an emotional wreck. And that was something I figured out right after they traded a fifth-round pick for Aqib Talib, which is, again, a move that I just wanted the Chiefs to make so badly. And they simply did not. Okay, let's go. Rudy just informed me that Chad is on the line, and Chad is a Rams fan. Chad, congratulations on having a fun football team.
Hey, well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I just got in the car and was listening to your conversation. Yeah, I've been a Rams fan for 40, 45 years. My first game I ever saw was in the Coliseum in L.A. when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
Going way, way back. And I agree. This last year, it came on as a total surprise, mm-hmm. considering where the Rams have been the last, you know, since the St. Louis days,
yeah.
Kurt Warner days.
Yep.
But Pete and Peters, it's so ironic because I'm not a big fan of either one of them. I mean, my girls go to K-State, so I'd never liked to leave.
Right.
And this whole Peters deal and the national anthem and his antics are just, you know, is he talented? Heck yes. I mean, they both are incredibly talented, and now they're both on my team.
Right.
And it's a mindset now. It's like,
yeah.
Whoa, I've got to root for these guys now and just change my entire mindset. But overall, yeah, what McVay and Snead are doing in L.A., it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, but I agree with you, too. I think the Chiefs are kind of, maybe just not as drastically, but they're trying to do the same thing. So
yeah, I think they're basically kind of right now maybe a year behind the timeline, and that's about right for Goff and Mahomes also. Chad, we're up against the end of the hour, but I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
I'm with him on that. And the mindset thing is really interesting because being a Rams fan now, getting these guys brought in, I hope that Rams fans are in now on like, all right, we're just going to be the bad boys. And, man, that's such a fun way to be. The Royals had a little bit of that on the World Series run, right? A little bit of, not bad boys, but the underdogs with an attitude. That's the Rams now, and I'm envious of that. I hope the Chiefs also get some of that. Travis Kelce helps. Marcus Peters did. But I hope you enjoy them, L.A.